चैतन्यमनोऽभीष्टम् स्थापितम् येन भूतले स्वयमरूपः कदामयम् ददाति स्वमदान्वितम् वन्दे कमलम् श्रीगुरुवैष्णवांश श्रीरूपम् साग्रजातम् सगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवम् साद्वैतम् सावधूतम् परिजनसहितम् कृष्णचैतन्यदेवम् श्रीराधा कृष्णपादान् सगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्विताश्च हे करुणासिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोमेश गोपिकाकान्त राधाकान्त नमोऽस्तुते प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये वाञ्छाकल्पतरूप्यस्य कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य
श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानन्द
श्री अद्वैत गदाधर
श्रीवासादि
गौरभद्रवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम राम हरे हरे
Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare
His Divine Grace Abhaya Charana Aravinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Nitya Leela Pravishta Om Vishnupada Paramahamsa Parivrajaka Charya Varya Ashtottara Shata Shri Srimad His Divine Grace Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaja Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Ho Grantharaja Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Ho Srimad Bhagavatam Evening Class Ki Jai Ho Yugadharma Shri Harinama Sankirtana Ki Jai Ho Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Ho Nitai Gaura Premanande Hari Hari Bol Hari Hari Bol Hari Hari Bol Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
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 Narayanam Namaskritya
Narayanam Namaskritya
Naram Chaiva Narottamam
Naram Chaiva Narottamam
Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam
Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam
Tato Jayamudiraye
Tato Jayamudiraye
Nashta Prayeshva Bhadreshu
Nashta Prayeshva Bhadreshu
Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya
Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya
Bhagavatyuttama Shloke
Bhagavatiruttama Shloke
Bhakti Bhavati Naishthiki
Bhakti Bhavati Naishthiki
So today we will recite from Srimad Bhagavatam 5th canto 5th chapter text 18th Please recite after the original recitation Gurur Nasasyat Svajano Nasasyat
Gurur Nasasyat Svajano Nasasyat
Gurur Nasasyat Svajano Nasasyat
Gurur Nasasyat Svajano Nasasyat
Pita Nasasyat Janani Nasasyat
Pita na sasyat janani na sasyat
Pita na sasyat janani na sasyat
Pita na sasyat janani na sasyat
Daivam na tatsyanna patishcha sasyat
Daivam na tatsyanna patishcha sasyat
Daivam
नतस्यान्न पतिश्च स स्यात्
देवं नतस्यान्न पतिश्च स स्यात्
नमो च येद्यः समुपेत मृत्युम्
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 गुरुर्न स स्यात् जननी न सा स्यात्
गुरुर्न स स्यात् स्वजनो न स स्यात्
गुरुर्न स स्यात् स्वजनो न स स्यात्
गुरुर्न स स्यात् स्वजनो न स स्यात्
पिता न स स्यात् जननी न सा स्यात्
पिता न स स्यात् जननी न सा स्यात्
दैवम् न तत् स्यान्न पतिश्च स स्यात्
देवं न तस्यान्न पतिश्च स स्यात्
नमो च येद्यः समुपेत मृत्युम्
नमो च येद्यः समुपेत मृत्युम् गुरुर्न स स्यात् स्वजनो न स स्यात्
गुरुर्न स स्यात् स्वजनो न स स्यात्
पिता न स स्यात् जननी न स स्यात्
पिता न स स्यात् जननी न स स्यात्
एवं न तस्यान् पतिश्च स स्यात्
एवं न तस्यान् पतिश्च स स्यात्
नमो च येद्य समुपेत मृत्युम्
गुरु न
सत् स्यात् स्वजनो न स स्यात्
पिता न सत् स्यात् जननी न सत् स्यात्
पिता न सत् स्यात् जननी न सत् स्यात्
एवं न तस्यान् पतिश्च स स्यात्
देवं न तस्यान् पतिश्च स स्यात्
नमो चेद्य समुपेत मृत्युम्
नमो चेद्य समुपेत मृत्युम्
गुरुर्न स स्यात् स्वजनो न स स्यात्
गुरुर्न स स्यात् स्वजनो न स स्यात्
पिता न स स्यात् जननी
पिता न स स्यात् जननी न स स्यात्
एवं न तत्स्वयं न पतिश्च स स्यात्
एवं न तस्यान् पतिश्च स स्यात्
नमो चेदया समुपेत मृत्युम्
नमो चेद्या समुपेत मृत्युम्
गुरु न स स्यात् स्वजनो न स स्यात्
पिता न स
स्यात्
जननी न स स्यात्
पिता न
स स्यात् जननी न स स्यात्
देवं न स स्यान्न पतिश्च स स्यात्
देवं न स स्यान्न पतिश्च स स्यात्
मोचेद्य संपेद मृत्युम्
नमो चेद्य संपेद्य मृत्युम्
ऋषि
गुरु न स स्यात् स्वजनो न स
स्यात्
पिता न स स्यात् जननी न स स्यात् देवं न तस्यान्न पतिश्च स स्यात् नमो चेद्य समुपेत्य मृत्युः
सो वर्ड फॉर वर्ड ट्रांसलेशन गुरुः ए स्पिरिचुअल मास्टर न नॉट सह ही स्यात् शुड बिकम स्वजनः ए रिलेटिव न नॉट सह सच ए पर्सन स्यात्
should become.
Pita,
father.
Na, not.
Saha, he.
Syat,
should become.
Janani,
a mother.
Na, not.
Sa, she.
Syat,
should become.
Devam,
the worshipable deity.
Na, not.
That.
Syat.
Should become.
Na, not.
Patihi.
A husband.
Cha.
Also.
Saha. He.
Syat.
Should become.
Na, not.
Mochayet.
Can deliver.
Yaha.
Who.
Samupetamrityum. One who is on the path of repeated birth and death. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. One who cannot deliver his dependents from the path of repeated birth and death should never become a spiritual master, a father, a husband, a mother, or a worshipable demigod. Purport. There are many spiritual masters, but Rishabhdev advises that one should not become a spiritual master if he is unable to save his disciple from the path of birth and death. Unless one is a pure devotee of Krishna, he cannot save himself from the path of repeated birth and death. Tyaktva deham punar janma naiti mameti sorjuna. One can stop birth and death only by returning home back to Godhead. However, who can go back to Godhead unless he understands the Supreme Lord in truth? Janma karma chame divyam evam yovitti tattvatah. We have many instances in history illustrating Rishabhdeva's instructions. Shukracharya was rejected by Bali Maharaj due to his inability to save Bali Maharaj from the path of repeated birth and death. Shukracharya was not a pure devotee. He was more or less inclined to fruitive activity, and he objected when Bali Maharaj promised to give everything to Lord Vishnu. Actually, one is supposed to give everything to the Lord because everything belongs to the Lord. Consequently, the Supreme Lord advises in Bhagavad Gita, 9th chapter, 27th verse, Yat karoshi yadashnasi yat juhoshi dadasi yat yat tapasyasi kaunteya tat kurushva madarpanam. O son of Kunti, all that you do, all that you eat, all that you offer and give away, as well as all austerities that you may perform, should be done as an offering unto me. This is bhakti. Unless one is devoted, he cannot give everything to the Supreme Lord. Unless one can do so, he cannot become a spiritual master, husband, father or mother. Similarly, the wives of the Brahmanas who were performing sacrifices gave up their relatives just to satisfy Krishna. This is an example of a wife rejecting a husband who cannot deliver her from the impending dangers of birth and death. Similarly, Prahlad Maharaj rejected his father and Bharat Maharaj rejected his mother, Janani Nasa Syat. The word Daivam indicates a demigod or one who accepts worship from a dependent. Ordinarily, the spiritual master, husband, father, mother or superior relative accepts worship from an inferior relative. But here, Rishabhdev forbids this. First, the father, spiritual master or husband must be able to release the dependent from repeated birth and death. If he cannot do this, he plunges himself into the ocean of reproachment for his unlawful activities. Everyone should be very responsible and take charge of his dependents, just as a spiritual master takes charge of his disciple or a father takes charge of his son. All these responsibilities cannot be discharged honestly unless one can save the dependent from repeated birth and death. Hare Krishna.
the very onset of present day's discourse, I would like to initially offer my most respectfully prostrated obeisances unto the lotus feet of their divine conjugal lordships, Shri Shri Radha Shyam Sundar Dev, along with their eternal divine companions and associates, such as Shri Lalita Devi, Shri Vishakha Devi, Shri Rupa Rati Manjari, etc. And along with them, I would also like to submit my most respectfully prostrated homages unto the lotus feet of their divine lordships, Shri Shri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Shri Shri Nityananda Prabhu, along with their perpetual transcendental entourage, such as Shri Rupa Goswami, Shri Sanatana Goswami, and all the six Goswamis of Shri Dham Vrindavan. Finally, I would also like to pay my submissive respects and due respects and obeisances unto the lotus feet of His Divine Grace, Abhaya Charanaravinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who has been an adept, very artistically and very nicely propagated the doctrine of Krishna consciousness, imbued with pure devotional transcendental values and sentiments throughout this world, in this present modern era, in a most unique and fantastic, unprecedented, enchanting way. Conclusively, I would also like to pay my obeisances and due respects unto all the Vaishnava devotees of the Lord, present herein, and thereafter, I would now like to commence our proposed topic and context of discussion, especially the context and topic of the 5th canto, 5th chapter, 18th text of Srimad Bhagavatam, which comes as part of Lord Rishabhdeva's teachings to his 100 sons. So as we are making the perusal and in-depth profound study of Srimad Bhagavatam in a sequential and chronological order, we are coming to realize the point and the fact that the so-called highly occupied positions, the so-called revered and venerated or adorable positions of being an acharya or guru, spiritual master, being a father, being a biological mother, janani, being a demigod, and being a husband, all these relatively superior positions or the highly occupied positions which are to be respected by the inferiors. These highly occupied positions have a great responsibility to perform. And this great responsibility to be performed and to be executed by these highly occupied positions is that they have to deliver their fellow dependents and the inferiors who are dependent upon them, they have to deliver them from this material world, and finally they have to take them back to the transcendental abode of Shri Krishna. And in this verse, Srila Rishabhdev, Bhagavan Rishabhdev, he is especially emphasizing the point of Bhagavata Dharma, and he is highlighting how Bhagavata Dharma and the teachings of Bhagavata Dharma, Bhagavata Dharma means the same as Bhakti Yoga or the science of pure devotional service. So how the precepts and the doctrine and the gospels of this devotional service or Bhagavata Dharma are different from, ordinarily speaking, the doctrines of ordinary morality and ethics known as Samanya Shishtachar. So according to the Samanya Shishtachar, or according to the normal code of ethics and morality in this world, Shishtachar or Niti Shastra, according to the normal codes of ethics and morality, the acharya or the spiritual master has to be respected, the father has to be respected, the mother has to be respected. There are actually seven mothers which are to be respected according to Chanakya Pandita's Niti Shastra. And of course, the demigods, various types of demigods, they also have to be respected, and they have to be given proper awe and reverence. But the Bhagavata Siddhanta or the Bhagavata Dharma is different in the sense that even though a person may be occupying the position, so-called high position of an acharya, mother, father, husband, or demigod, etc., but if he is not able to deliver his fellow dependents from this material world, and finally if he is not able to grant the highest benediction and the highest paramount boon of entering into the eternal pastimes of Lord Shri Shri Radha and Govinda in Goloka Vrindavan, then he is not considered at all befitting or suitable to occupy those aforementioned highly situated positions. He is illegitimately occupying these positions, and because he is illegitimately occupying those positions, he is not to be respected in the practical behavior by his fellow dependents, by his fellow inferiors. That is the Siddhanta of Bhagavata Dharma. And how this Siddhanta becomes different from the normal Siddhanta of Shishtachar? The Vedas have proclaimed the normal conclusion of so-called morality and ethics by saying that Matri Devo Bhava, or the mother, is the first demigod which is to be respected. And then the second conclusion or the second injunction the Vedas are propounding is Pitri Devo Bhava, or the father has to be respected because he's the second demigod, he's the second devata, he's to be respected as the other 330 million demigods like Indra, Varuna, Chandra, Surya, Brahma, etc. are respected. And then finally comes the position of Acharya, Acharya Devo Bhava, or the spiritual, the guru or the preceptor has to be respected. Here Acharya does not mean spiritual master. When the Vedas say Acharya Devo Bhava, why? There is one reason. Because according to the Bhagavata Dharma, according to the devotional line of thought, according to the Bhakti school of thought, now this is the thought of Karma Marg. This Acharya Devo Bhava, Matri Devo Bhava, Pitri Devo Bhava, this is the thought of Karma Marg, or the path of fruitive and non-fruitive action, Nishkam Karma Yoga and Sakam Karma. The thought of Sakam Karma and Nishkam Karma Yoga is that first the mother has to be respected, then the father has to be respected, and then the preceptor who gives or who imparts the sermons and the teachings of the four Vedas to his fellow disciples, he is to be respected at last. That is why Vedas emphasize, after making these three types of injunctions, they emphasize that first the mother has to be respected, the biological mother, Janani. Janan Karya means the act of progenition, the act of progenitizing, or the act of progeneration, to progenerate. So that biological mother who progenerates is considered Janani here, because she is the performer of the activity of Prajananam. Prajananam is the activity of progenerating the child. And because the biological mother, she progenerates the child, that is why she is known as Janani here. Here we are not talking about the foster mother, the mother who fosters. Especially we are talking about the Janani or the biological mother. So, the first injunction the Vedas are making is that the biological mother has to be respected, Matri Devo Bhava. And the position of the father is considered secondary. Because according to the Vedic culture and Vedic civilization, it is mother who gives the samskaras, or who trains the child in the Vedic culture and the Vedic way of thought. And in the Vedic way of training, she trains her child, and she likewise molds her child in according to the Vedic way of thought and according to the Vedic way of behavior. So, because the whole responsibility of making the child civilized and uplifted according to the Vedic standards depends upon mother. That is why mother is considered to be the foremost person to be respected by the child. That is why Matri Devo Bhava. Vedas have not first stated Acharya Devo Bhava, they have rather first stated Matri Devo Bhava. So the mother has to be respected first according to the ordinary laws of the path of karma and the path of morality and ethics. Then comes the position of father. The father is to be respected afterwards. And at last, the acharya or the preceptor or teacher who trains the child in the instructions of the Vedas, in the knowledge of the Vedas, in the science and the wisdom of the Vedas, he is to be respected at last. Why? Because if the mother has not trained her child properly And if the child reaches the eight years of age, and at the age of 8 years, the Brahmana child is advised to attend the Gurukul and start and commence his Vedic education under the guidance of his preceptor, Acharya. At the age of 12, the child who is of Kshatriya nature is advised to attend the Gurukul and begin his Vedic studies as per the guidance of his preceptor or Acharya. And the child who is born in the Vaishya family, the mercantile class, the administrative class and the intellectual class we have already talked about. And now we are talking about the child who is born in the mercantile family, Vaishya Varna. That child who is born in the mercantile family and who also has the nature and qualities of mercantile family. And that's the predominant, the nature and qualities are the most predominant factor. So, a child who has the nature and qualities and attributes of being a merchant, he is advised to attend the Gurukul and he is advised to take the Upanayan Samskar or this sacred thread ceremony at the age of 15. And all these three, the Brahmana boy, the Kshatriya boy and the Vaishya boy, according to the Vedic standard, they are advised to stay within the premise of the Gurukul until the age of 25. If after the age of 25, if some brahmachari or celibate student wants to keep his celibacy lifelong, he is permitted to do so, if he has proper renunciation internally speaking. But if he wants to enter the grihasthashram or household life, he is also permitted to do so. Now, if the mother has not properly trained up her child, then the acharya or the preceptor who is going to make that child endowed with the wisdom of Vedas, he's allowed, he's given option by the Vedic injunctions to not accept the child who is not properly trained up by the mother. That is why training given by the mother is considered the foremost factor which makes the child the proper follower of Vedic Dharma or the Vedic way of civilization. If the mother has not trained up her child, then the acharya reserves special option of not permitting that child to enter into his Gurukul. This is all mentioned by Maharaj Manu in the Manu Sanghita, which is the original book for propounding the codes of morality and ethics and Shishtachar. Now, that's the reason why mother has to be respected first, because everything else, all the other subsequent incidences and occurrences and events, they depend upon mother's training her child. So Matri Devo Bhava, the mother has to be respected first. Then comes Pitri Devo Bhava, the father has to be respected afterwards. The reason father has to be respected afterwards is because the father is not the person who is most close to the child, especially when the child is in its tender age. So father, the responsibility of training up the child doesn't depend upon the father, because father usually, a householder is injuncted by the Vedas to go out and to work in order to accumulate the wealth, in order to sustain the family. So the whole time, mother spends the whole time with her child, not the father. And the responsibility of training up the child depends upon mother and not the father, due to this reason of earning the livelihood. Father does not have the sufficient time. Now, the father has second importance. Why the father is not placed on the first position, we have already explained. Now, why the father has not been placed in the third position and in the second position, that remains to be explained. Because the father is the one who maintains the child, not the acharya. Acharya will maintain the child when the child will grow up of 8 years, 12 years or 15 years of age. After that time, the acharya will maintain the child by keeping that child in his gurukul. But in order to have the child grow up to the age of 8 years or 12 years or 15 years, that responsibility depends upon father's earning the livelihood. So because father is the maintainer of the child in his tender age, and if the father doesn't maintain the child in his tender age, there is no possibility of the child's being growing up in a proper way. So because the whole responsibility of maintaining the child, of training the child depends upon the mother, and of maintaining the child depends upon the father. There is difference between maintenance and training. So the responsibility of maintaining and sustaining the child depends upon the father before that the child is actually eligible to enter Gurukul. And that is why the father has the second importance. And the third importance is given to Acharya or the
Vyavaharik Guru, Laukik Guru. Now here Acharya is not Paramarthik Guru. That is why Shri Jiva Goswami Pad, he differentiates between the two types of spiritual masters. He differentiates between the two types of spiritual masters in his Sandarbhas, especially in the 210th Anucheda, or the paragraph of his Bhakti Sandarbha, which is one of the six Sandarbhas written by him. They are called Bhagavata Sandarbha or Shat Sandarbha, because these six Sandarbhas are written as an analysis on Srimad Bhagavatam. So in the fifth Sandarbha, known as Bhakti Sandarbha, which is based on Srimad Bhagavatam, Shri Jiva Goswami, the foremost associate of Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he writes that Paramartha Gurvashrayo Vyavaharika Gurvadi Parityage Navi Kartavyaha. That there are two types of gurus. He introduces the idea of a Paramarthika Guru and he introduces the idea of a Vyavaharika Guru. Who is Vyavaharika Guru? Vyavaharika Guru is the same as Laukik Guru. Laukik Guru and Vyavaharika Guru are two synonymous terminologies. And then there is Paramarthika Guru. So Paramarthika Guru means spiritual master. Srila Prabhupada, he talks about spiritual master, and all the other acharyas of our sampradaya, they have talked about the importance of spiritual master. That spiritual master which all the acharyas have talked the importance of, that spiritual master is this Paramarthika Guru. That spiritual master is different from the acharya, from the teacher and the preceptor, who merely makes the 8-year, 12-year or the 15-year-old child eligible to study the Veda. That is Laukik Guru. That Acharya who makes 8-year-old Brahman child, 12-year-old Kshatriya child and the 15-year-old Vaishya child eligible to study the Veda by giving him Upanayana Sanskar, by giving him the sacred thread and the Brahma Gayatri Mantra and by teaching him the Vedas, that Acharya is Laukik or Vyavaharik Guru. He is not Paramarthik Guru. Why? Because that Acharya will at most give knowledge of the Karmakanda portion. Actually, after that, the brahmachari accepts the sannyas order or the renounced order of life. Then, you see, the Vedas are divided in three parts: Jnanakand, Upasanakand, and Karmakand. So, there are four Vedas: Rigved, Yajurved, Samaved, and Atharvaved. And these four Vedas combined together have 100,000 mantras, 100,000 mantras or 100,000 shlokas. 86,000 mantras of the Vedas form the Karmakanda portion. Another 10,000 mantras of the Vedas form the Upasanakanda portion. And last remaining 4,000 mantras of the Vedas form the Jnanakanda portion. So, the Jnanakanda portion, the 4,000, last remaining 4,000 mantras of the four Vedas, the Jnanakanda portion. Jnanakanda portion is again divided into 108 Upanishadas or Shrutis, beginning from Isha Upanishad down to the last Muktika Upanishad. So these 108 Upanishadas or Shrutis form the Jnanakanda portion, form the last 4,000 remaining mantras of the four Vedas. And the Jnanakanda portion or the Upanishad part is also known as Vedant or the end part of the Vedas, the essence of the Vedas, the end part. So the Jnanakanda portion of the Vedas, according to the Vedic injunction, it can only be taught to the sannyasi, to the formally renounced person who has formally accepted the renounced order of life. So as long as a brahmachari or a celibate student is in a brahmacharya ashram, is in the stage of celibacy, is still on the stage of celibacy and has not yet accepted the formally the renounced order of life, the sannyas ashram, he cannot be given the instructions of the Upanishadas. That is the Vedic injunction. Upanishadas are meant only for the sannyasis or the officially renounced monks. So it is naturally, from this Vedic injunction, it is naturally inferred, it is naturally judged out, or it is naturally ascertained that the brahmacharis, whether they be of Brahmana class, Kshatriya class or Vaishya class, they will not be given the instructions of the Upanishad Vibhag, the Upanishad section of the Vedas, but only regarding the instructions of the Jnanakanda and the Upasanakanda section of the Vedas. Now, the Jnanakanda and the Karmakanda and the Upasanakanda section of the Vedas are the Karma Marg. They are the path of Karma. And the Jnanakanda section of the Vedas talks little about Bhakti, but mostly about the impersonal monistic knowledge, Jnana Marg. But in the Karmakanda section of the Vedas, bhakti or devotional service or even jnana has not been touched, has not been discussed at all. And majority of the Vedas, 86,000 verses, or I would say 96,000 verses, combining both the Gyan Khan and Upasana Khan, form the science or the knowledge about the karma mark, the knowledge about the path of karma, both Nishkam and Sakam. So the Karma Khand portion talks about Nishkam karma, and the Upasana Khand portion talks about, the Karma Khand portion talks about the Sakam karma or the fruitive activity, and the Upasana Khand section talks about the Nishkam karma yoga. And Jnana Kanda portion talks little about bhakti, like in the cases of Shweta Gopal Tapani Upanishad, etc. These are some of the few chosen Upanishads which talk about bhakti or devotional service and the personal form of the God. But most of the Upanishads do not talk about the personal form of God, and rather they talk about the path of Jnana. So the Upasana Kanda and the Karma Kanda portion of the Vedas talk mainly about Sakam and Nishkam Karma. And the instructions in reference to the Sakam and Nishkam Karma are not considered Paravidya. According to the Vedas, according to the Vedic definition, Paravidya or the transcendental wisdom or the Brahma Vidya is considered either Jnana Khand or Bhakti. Either Jnana or Bhakti is considered to be the Paravidya or the Brahma Vidya or the transcendental knowledge. And Lord Shri Krishna also talks about in Bhagavad Gita 10th chapter that Adhyatma Vidya Vidyana Vadam Pravatatama. Among all the types of knowledges, I am the spiritual knowledge, Adhyatma Vidya. The same spiritual knowledge, sometimes in the Upanishads, is designated as Brahma Vidya or Paravidya. It means the same. Brahma Vidya, Paravidya, or Adhyatma Vidya, all these three synonymous terminologies mean the same. Now, the karma, the knowledge of Nishkam Karma and Sakam Karma, is not considered transcendental knowledge. Is considered under the jurisdiction of the three modes of material nature. Because the Sakam Karma and Nishkam Karma, ontologically speaking, they are performed as they are the products of the three modes of material nature. So the knowledge in regards to Sakam Karma and Nishkam Karma is also a product of the three modes of material nature. And that is why the knowledge of Sakam Karma and Nishkam Karma is not considered Paravidya, Brahma Vidya, or Adhyatma Vidya, according to the Acharyas, both by Shankaracharya and by the Vaishnava Acharyas. The knowledge of karma is not considered spiritual transcendental wisdom. And because the Vyavaharik or Laukik Guru, who trains up that Brahmana, Kshatriya and the Vaishya child in his Gurukul only in the Karmakanda portion of the Vedas, and because he does not impart the Jnanakanda portion of the Vedas to that Brahmachari, that is why that Guru is considered only Vyavaharik or Laukik Guru. He is not considered Paramarthik Guru. Paramarthik Guru means that spiritual master who gives Paramarthik Jnana, who gives spiritual knowledge either relating to Jnana Mark or Bhakti Mark. But because that Guru, he doesn't give that transcendental wisdom of Jnana Mark or Bhakti Mark, but he only talks about the Karma Mark. That is why, because of not imparting the Paravidya, Adhyatma Vidya and the Brahma Vidya, he is to be considered Laukika Guru, or that spiritual master who only talks about the wisdom of Vedas and within the jurisdiction of the three modes of material nature, and not about the wisdom of the Vedas outside and transcendental to the jurisdiction of the three modes of material nature. That is why he is known as Vyabharika Guru or Laukika Guru. So, Acharya Devo Bhava. Here, Acharya means the Laukik or Vyabharika Guru. It doesn't mean the spiritual master. So, now the Vedas have four sub-parts known as Upavedas, like Dhanur Veda or the science of martial arts, Gandharva Veda or the science of music, then Ayurveda, the science of medical science, and at last Sthapatya Veda, the science of architecture. The Upaveda, the secondary Veda of Atharva Veda, is Sthapatya Veda, the science of architecture. The secondary Veda, Upaveda of Sama Veda, is Gandharva Veda, the science of music. Likewise, the four Vedas have their four secondary sub-Vedas. And the four Vedas have six corollaries known as Sharangas. Sharangas and Chatur Upavedas. Four main Vedas, four sub-Vedas, and then six corollaries. So within the six corollaries are found Vyakaran or grammar, Nirukta, a special form of language. Then Jyotish Shastra, or the astronomical and astrological science. Chanda Shastra, or the science of meters, etc. And etc. So these are the six corollaries. Six corollaries, the science of six corollaries, and the science of the four sub-Vedas, Upavedas, and the science of the Karmakanda portion of the main four Vedas. These all combined together is what the Laukik Vyabharik Guru gives as instructions to his disciple. Now, the Acharya Devo Bhava that we are talking about right now, the Vedas are saying that the Acharya has to be respected at last. He is the Laukik Vyabharik Guru. He is not the Paramarthik Guru. But in the Bhagavata Dharma, according to the Bhagavata Dharma, now this we all talked about the Karma Mark. All these principles that the Vedas are saying that the mother has to be respected first, father afterwards, and Acharya, he has to be respected finally at the very last. But the whole sequence becomes diverted if we talk about the devotional conclusions of Bhakti Mark. According to the devotional conclusions of Bhakti Mark, the spiritual master, the Paramarthik Guru, has to be respected first. Even before the Supreme Personality of Godhead is respected. Even before the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Shri Krishna, is respected or worshipped, the Guru has to be respected. And that is why it is described, especially in different Shastras, in different Puranas, and Srila Sanatana Goswami Pad, in his Hari Bhakti Vilas, he cites and he quotes many different Shastras and Puranas by saying that in all the different scriptures propounding the science of devotion, the Bhakti Shastras, it is emphasized that Guru, or the pure devotee of Lord Shri Krishna, the Mahabhagavat, the exalted devotee of Shri Krishna, who is occupying the position of spiritual master, the Paramarthik Guru, he has to be respected before even that the personality of Godhead, Shri Govinda, is respected. And because of this, Shri Jiva Goswami Pada writes in the 237th paragraph of his Bhakti Sandarbha by saying, he quotes from the Puranas, and he emphasizes the point. In the Puranas it is written, Harauruste Guru Strata Guraurushte Nakashchana Tasmat Sarva Prayatnena Gurumeva Prasadayet Harauruste Guru Strata Guraurushte Nakashchana. That means that if, suppose, for a person who is engaged in the devotional, on the devotional path, a person who is a devotee following the path of devotional service, if somehow or other, by that devotee, by the actions and by the behavior and by the thinking and by the thoughts of that devotee, Lord Hari, who is the worshipable deity for that devotee, if that Lord Hari, if that Aradhya Dev, Lord Hari or Lord Krishna, he becomes dissatisfied by the offenses that the devotee has performed, or by the faulty worship that the devotee has performed. If Lord Krishna becomes angry and dissatisfied and becomes offended, Harau Rushte Gurustrata, then the spiritual master will take care of the disciple, and the spiritual master will come in between the disciple, the devotee, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And because the spiritual master will protect his disciple, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because he is subordinate to the spiritual master, he will also become automatically satisfied, and he will lose his so-called wrath or anger on that devotee. Lord, who has become offended, who has become angry and wrathful and dissatisfied on that devotee because of that devotee's mistake, offense or fault in his worship, that Lord, he has to become satisfied, he has to forget that offense, and he has to become satisfied, and he has to completely reject his wrath and anger that he had on that devotee, just because the spiritual master is protecting that devotee. That is why Harau Rushte Guru Strata. No matter if Lord Hari becomes angry on the devotee, but if the spiritual master is there to protect that devotee, then nothing wrong can happen. Harau Rushte Guru Strata Guru Rushte Nakashchana. And suppose Now vice versa, we are placed into a different circumstance. Suppose if something contradictory happens. Contradictory means if something completely reverse to what we have already discussed about happens. That means if spiritual master becomes dissatisfied, angry, wrathful and offended for his disciple, for the devotee. But Lord Hari has not been offended. Lord Hari has not been directly offended by the devotee, but the spiritual master has been directly offended by the devotee, by the disciple. Then what happens? In just different reverse circumstance. Then what happens has been described here, tasmad sarva prayatnena gurumeva prasavayet. If the guru becomes dissatisfied, if the paramarthic guru, the spiritual master becomes dissatisfied and offended by his disciple and by this devotee, then no option remains, no solution remains for that devotee and that disciple to advance and to progress on the path of devotional service, the path of bhakti yoga. If the guru is dissatisfied, then Hari will become automatically dissatisfied. Hari will not come in between to protect that devotee. He will not interfere in between to protect the devotee. He will not interfere between the disciple and the spiritual master in order to protect the disciple. If the disciple and the devotee has offended his spiritual master, Hari will not interfere. But if Hari is offended, if Krishna is offended by the devotee, then the spiritual master will interfere and nullify that offense and nullify the whole controversial situation. That is the difference. Harau rushte guru strada, gurau rushte na kashchana, tasmat sarva prayatnena gurumeva prasadaye. That is why in the Puranas it has been stated that by all endeavors, through all endeavors of body, mind, speech and soul, sarva prayatnena ka tatparya hai, sharirik prayatna, manasik prayatna, vachik prayatna or atmik prayatna. Atmik means the endeavor of the soul, manasik means the endeavor of the mind and intellect, vachika means the endeavor of speech, and kayik prayatna or sharirik prayatna means the endeavor of body. Through all these four types of endeavors, one has to try only to satisfy the spiritual master. Then the Hari or Krishna automatically comes into the grip of the disciple, of the devotee. But if he tries to only satisfy Hari and doesn't try to satisfy the spiritual master, then neither of these two factors or principles, that means Guru or Krishna, neither of these two principles come into the grasp of the devotee. So that is why in the Puranas, Lord Narayana himself has stated again, and this verse has been again quoted by Srila Sanatana Goswami in his Hari Bhakti Vilas. So Lord Narayana is stating in the Puranas that Prathamanta Gurum Pujyam Tatashchaiva Mamarchanam Kurvan Siddhim Avapnoti Yanyatha Nishphalam Bhavet. Prathamanta Gurum Pujyam Tatashchaiva Mamarchanam. Lord Narayana himself has declared that first, prathama means first, before beginning the worship of mine, because my worship is the highest worship. Lord Krishna has declared in Srimad Bhagavad Gita that yanti deva vrata devan pitrin yanti pitri prataha bhutan yanti bhutejya yanti madhya jinopi mam, that the devotees of the demigods will attain the destination or the abode of the demigods. The devotees of the forefathers and ancestors headed by Aryama, they will go to the abode of Aryama, the Pitri Loka. The devotees of the demigods headed by Indra will go to the abodes of demigods like Swargalok, Amravati, Puri, etc. And the devotees of ghost spirits, evil spirits and phantoms, etc., Bhut, Pret, etc., they will go to the abodes of those ghosts, phantoms and spirits. But my devotees will attain to my transcendental spiritual abode, which is completely supramundane and non-phenomenal. Now, in Padma Puran, Lord Shiva is stating to his consort, his wife Parvati Devi, by saying, Aradhananam sarvesham Vishnor aradhanam param tasmat parataram devi tadiyanam samarchanam aradhananam sarvesham. Among all different types of worships which are found and which are of avail, which are available, of among all the different types of worship which are available and which are in existence, which are to be found, the worship of Lord Vishnu is the most superior form of worship. Aradhananam sarvesham Vishnoho aradhanam param. विष्णु की जो आराधना है, भगवान नारायण अथवा भगवान नारायण के अन्यान्य जो रूप हैं या अवतार हैं, श्री नरसिंह वाराहपुर्म इत्यादि, उन समस्त की जो उपासना है, उन समस्त भगवत अवतारों की अथवा भगवत रूपों की जो उपासना है, उन समस्त विष्णु तत्वों की स्वांश, जो भगवान के स्वांश है, स्वांश रूप है, उनकी जो उपासना है वो अन्य समस्त उपासनाओं से बढ़कर है, महती उपासना है, अधिक गरीयसी और महिमा मंडित उपासना है. The worship of Lord Narayan or any of his various incarnations and forms is certainly superior worship than the worship of the demigods, devatas, than the worship of the forefathers and ancestors, and then the worship of ghost spirits and the worship of human beings. Aradhananam sarvesham. Among all the different types of worships, Lord Narayana's worship is the most exalted form of worship. Aradhananam sarvesham Vishnur aradhanam param tasmat parataram devi tadiyanam samarchanam. But even higher than the worship of Lord Narayana is the worship of his devotees, his pure devotees.
In this content, we go on 21st and 22nd of the same.
Yes.
That tells the same thing. If we can go on.
Oh, okay.
Just go on 21.
21st. And 22. Oh, okay. I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Just 21 and 22.
Yes.
So there, like he explained everything, moving, non-moving, which are better. Like last comes the Brahman. I mean,
yes, like, Brahma is considered superior, and the supreme personality of
like
God.
Like he gives systematically from.
Yes. Yeah, there is a chronological description of superiority. Who is superior to whom in this material world?
That is how it goes. Like,
yes.
Like who are inferior, then
yes.
It goes to Brahma. Brahma, then
yes.
Lord Krishna says the Brahmans.
Yes. So in that sense, when Krishna says that Yanti Deva Vrata Devan, the worship of the evil spirits and the worship of the human beings is the most inferior form of worship. And then the worship of the forefathers is better than the worship of human beings and evil spirits. And the worship of demigods like Indra is still better than the worship of forefathers. And the worship of Lord Narayana is better than the worship of demigods like Indra, Brahma, Shiva, etc. And the worship of the devotees of Lord Narayana is better even than the worship of Lord Narayana.
Yeah.
That is the synopsis of the description whose worship is superior. So, Aradhananam Sarvesham Vishnur Aradhanam Param Tasmat Parataram Devi Tadiyanam Samarchanam. And that is why Lord Shiva instructs his consort and wife Parvati that therefore, Tasmat means therefore. Therefore, Tadiyanam. Tadiyanam means of those who are related to Lord Narayana. That means of those who are always attached. How they are related to Lord Narayana? Because they are always attached to serving the lotus feet of Lord Narayana. So, those devotees who are always attached to the service of Lord Narayana's transcendental lotus feet, they are known as Tadiya. And the worship of those Tadiya devotees, the pure devotees of the Lord, is better than the worship of the Lord. That is why, therefore, Lord Shiva says, Tasmat Parataram Devi Tadiyanam Samarchanam, the devotees of the Lord have to be worshipped as the foremost priority. Now, the Guru, the Paramarthic Guru or the spiritual master, he is not an ordinary devotee. There are three types of devotees: Kanishta Adhikari, Madhyam Adhikari, and Uttam Adhikari. Or Kanishta Bhakta, Madhyam Bhakta, and Uttam Bhakta. So, the neophyte devotee, the intermediate level of devotee, and the topmost Mahabhagavata devotee who has become perfect on the path of devotional service. So, the Uttam Bhagavata, Uttam Bhakta, who has attained the perfection on the path of devotional service, that Uttama Bhakta, he is to be considered suitable for becoming the spiritual master. And even Jiva Goswami puts a condition in his commentary to Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu or the Nectar of Devotion of Rupa Goswami. While Jiva Goswami writes the commentary on Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, he makes one condition that if a devotee of Lord wants to become a spiritual master, first of all, the devotee of the Lord doesn't want to become spiritual master, rather the other devotees of the Lord, they make a particular devotee who is very much advanced, they give him the position of spiritual master. So the Jiva Goswami says that a person, that a devotee who is suitable to be spiritual master, the devotee who is suitable to be spiritual master, he has to be at least on the level of Bhava Bhakti, Jatrati. Jatrati means the devotee in whom Bhava Bhakti has already arisen. That devotee is considered suitable for becoming the spiritual master. So if a devotee is on the level of sadhan bhakti, then he is not considered suitable of becoming spiritual master. And it is not required that a devotee should be on the level of prema bhakti, which is the highest stage of devotional service. If he is at least on the level of bhava bhakti, that is the jatrati avastha, that's a technical term used in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, then also he can become the spiritual master. Now, this means that the spiritual master, who can become a spiritual master, legally speaking, only if he is on the level of Bhava Bhakti. Now, this spiritual master is certainly, because he is on the level of Bhava Bhakti, is certainly on the very advanced stage of devotional service. Because Bhava Bhakti has been considered Sudurlabha in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. In the very beginning of the Nectar of Devotion, Rupa Goswami describes the six qualities of devotional service or Bhakti. That is, Kleshagni Shubhada Moksha Lagutakrit Sudur Labha Sandranand Visheshatma Shri Krishna Karshini Chasa. So when the devotional service is on the level of sadhan bhakti, it only has two symptoms, Kleshagni and Shubhada. That means it removes all types of distresses. And Shubhada, it grants all types of auspiciousness. But if this same devotional service or sadhan bhakti becomes transformed onto the stage of Bhava Bhakti, then Bhava Bhakti has two extra symptoms. Bhava Bhakti has the preceding two symptoms of Kleshagni and Shubhada, of being Kleshagni and Shubhada, of granting auspiciousness and removing the distress. But Bhava Bhakti has two more special symptoms, which are Moksha Lagutakrit and Sudurlabha. And those special symptoms are not found within Sadhan Bhakti. So what are those special symptoms? Moksha Lagutakrit means when the Bhava Bhakti arises within the heart of a devotee, the devotee considers the so-called four goals of human life, tathakathit purushart, like dharma, arth, kam and moksha, or the prescribed duties of varnashram dharma, or the so-called pious religious activities and rituals. Then artha means so-called economic development and prosperity of finance. Artha means sense gratification or sensual enjoyment. And moksha means liberation of five kinds, salokya, sarshti, samipya, etc. All these four, dharma, arth, kam and moksha, are perceived by the devotee who is on the level of bhava bhakti merely as blades of grasses, as straws of grasses found on the street in a very abominable condition, in a very rejected condition. So these four purusharthas, these four goals of humanity, dharma, artha, kama and moksha, appear just like the straw or the blades of grass found on the street in a rejected condition. And this is how the devotee is on the level of bhava bhakti perceives dharma, artha, kama and moksha. And the second symptom of Bhava Bhakti, so Bhava Bhakti makes even liberation, what to speak of Dharma, Artha and Kaam, Bhava Bhakti makes even liberation appear insignificant to the devotee. That's Moksha Lagutakrit, jo Moksha ko laghu bana de, jo Moksha ko chota kar de wo. And Sudurlabha, Sudurlabha means Bhava Bhakti is very rarely obtained. And Lord Krishna, actually Lord Narad Mahamuni, he confirms this point in Srimad Bhagavatam 5th canto before Maharaj Parikshit. Narad confirms by saying, Astveva manga bhagavan bhajatam mukundo muktim dadati karhichit smana bhakti yoga. That Lord Mukunda or Lord Krishna, he very easily grants sense gratification, bhukti, bhog, to his devotees. And he also very easily grants liberation of five types to his devotees, mukti. But he very rarely, so to speak, he never grants, he sometimes grants. Only rarely, when he is forced and when he is compelled to do so, and when he has no other choice or option left, when he has no other boon or benediction left to give to his devotee, only then he is forced, only then the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Narayana or Lord Krishna, is forced and is compelled to give prema bhakti, which is the highest goal, which is the fifth goal, even higher than the moksha. Of course. So this prema bhakti, this transcendental unalloyed love for the lotus feet of Lord Shri Krishna, in front of which even the moksha appears insignificant, moksha lagutakrit. This prema bhakti, the beginning stage of this prema bhakti is known as bhava bhakti. Rupa Goswami has has compared Prema Bhakti to be a full-fledged illuminated sun. And he has compared Bhava Bhakti to be just one single ray of light coming from the sun of Prema Bhakti. Because when the sun rises in the morning, the sun doesn't appear first. First, its rays appear. And first, not all the rays appear simultaneously. One by one, each ray of the sun appears. According to the modern science, not all the rays of sun appear at the same time. Rays appear in a chronological sequential order, one by one. But the process is so fast that it seems that all the rays are appearing simultaneously. So, Bhava Bhakti has been considered to be the first ray of the sun of Prema Bhakti. And when that sun of Prema Bhakti becomes fully illuminated, then it turns, then the sadhaka attains the stage of Prema. Otherwise, he is on the stage of Bhava. So, this Bhava Bhakti is considered very rare, because according to Narada's statement in Bhagavatam, O Yudhishthir, Narada says, O Yudhishthir, Krishna very easily gives both bhog and moksha, both sense enjoyment and liberation, but he, so to say, very rarely gives this Prema Bhakti. That is why this Bhava Bhakti is very rare, being the beginning stage of Prema Bhakti, being the initial stage of Prema Bhakti. And because this Bhava Bhakti is very rare, and because especially Srila Jiva Goswami makes this condition, puts forth this condition, that if anyone wants actually to become a spiritual master, then he has to be at least on the level of Bhava Bhakti. And why that point is made? Because of this shloka of Bhagavatam that we are discussing. Because if the spiritual master is not on the level of Bhava Bhakti, then he will not be able to deliver the disciple in this very lifetime. He might be able to deliver his disciple in some lifetimes, but not in this very lifetime. That's the first point. And it's not that only the disciple has to be on the level of Bhava Bhakti, the spiritual master has to be on the level of Bhava Bhakti, but the disciple also requires a great eligibility. And due to that reason, in the very first chapter of Hari Bhakti Vilas, Sanatan Goswami writes by quoting many different Shastras and Puranas and Vedas and Upanishads, he gives very in-depth description of what are the qualifications of a proper, real spiritual master, and what are the qualifications of a real disciple. And only if those qualifications which are mentioned in the scriptures, the qualifications pertaining to the disciple, only if those qualifications are present, then the disciple should be accepted. And the disciple should only accept that spiritual master in whom those qualities which are mentioned in the Shastras befitting spiritual master are present. Otherwise, that guru should not accept that shishya or disciple, and the shishya or disciple should not accept that guru. That's the first thing. The disciple shouldn't accept that spiritual master who is not meeting the proper criteria, who is not fulfilling the proper criteria and the prerequisite qualification. And that disciple shouldn't be accepted who is also not eligible to be a disciple. So that's why Sanatan Goswami says that both the disciple and the spiritual master should associate with one another, and they should try to test one another at least for 1 year of time. They should try to examine one another very deeply. They should try to examine one another very deeply by marking the whole behavior. The guru should mark the behavior of his going to be future disciple, and the disciple should mark the behavior and all related items of his spiritual, of his going to be future spiritual master. And if they feel satisfied with each other after 1 year, only then they should accept each other either as a disciple or a spiritual master. This is the most strict standard given by Srila Sanatana Goswami in Hari Bhakti Vilas. Why? Because if the spiritual master is not able to deliver his disciple by not being properly qualified and by being not on the level of Bhava Bhakti, and in order to judge if he's on the level of Bhava Bhakti or not, it takes time and it requires close association and close association with the guru. That is why the qualities and the symptoms of a devotee on the level of Bhava Bhakti are very clearly enumerated in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu says that there are 10 symptoms which will always be there if a devotee is on the level of Bhava Bhakti. What are those 10 symptoms? Those 10 symptoms are Shantiravyarthakalatvam Viraktirmana Shunyata Ashabandha Samutkantha Namagane Sadaruchihi. So these are the 10 symptoms which we will not describe here because it will make the whole session too much elaborated. But these 10 symptoms, beginning with this shloka of Shanti Rabhyartha Kalatvam Viraktir Mana Shunyata, Ashab Nam Gani Sadaruchi, Samutkantha, etc., these are Priti Hittad Vasati Sthale, etc. So these are the 10 symptoms mentioned of a devotee who is on the level of Bhava Bhakti. And these symptoms are not found in a devotee who is on the level of sadhan bhakti, of course. So, in order to judge whether the spiritual master is on that level or not, it needs close association. And for a spiritual master, in order to judge how the disciple is qualified or not, it also takes a special time and special effort. So, because this responsibility of being a spiritual master is a very heavy responsibility. Now the question arises, what's the need of judging the eligibility of disciple? We can only judge the eligibility of a spiritual master. If the spiritual master is potent, no matter how much the disciple is fallen, he will be liberated. That's all right. But it will be a very difficult process then. Because Jiva Goswami says in Bhakti Sandarbha that if the disciple is not properly qualified to become disciple, and suppose if he is given initiation and instruction, diksha and shiksha, then what happens is he will progress, but there is a chance that because of his being not properly qualified, he will perform lot of offenses. And if he performs offenses to Hari, then the Guru will protect him. But if he performs offenses to Guru himself, then it is said by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur that the Guru is so compassionate that he will always forgive his disciple, but the Charan Raj, the foot dust of a Mahabhagavata never forgives. The Mahabhagavata may forgive, but the foot dust of the Mahabhagavata never forgives. And due to this reason, and the foot dust of Mahabhagavata only forgives in a very special conditions, not normally. And that is why, if this person who is ineligible to become disciple, if he is granted initiation in a premature state, then he is prone to perform many offenses. Offenses to Guru, offenses to Lord Krishna, and that will impede, that will hamper, that will slacken and slower the process of advancement. That's the first reason why the eligibility of disciple has also to be considered. Not only the eligibility of Guru, Guru Nasasyat, also the eligibility of the disciple. And the second thing which has to be considered here is the because if the disciple is not properly qualified, he is not properly able to receive the mercy which is given by Shri Krishna and which is given by the Guru. Now, Jiva Goswami Pad, the point he emphasizes in his Bhakti Sandarbha is, no matter how much the Mahabhagavata devotee is qualified, no matter how much the Mahabhagavata devotee of the Lord or the spiritual master is qualified, but if the disciple is not qualified or is not meeting the criteria, then what will happen is, no matter how much mercy the spiritual master is giving to the disciple will not be able to properly receive that mercy and to properly digest that mercy and to appreciate that mercy. Now, question will arise that what about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? It is said in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Patra Patra Vichara Nahi Nahi Sthana Sthan, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu never considered who is eligible, who is ineligible, who is suitable, who is not suitable. He gave Prema Bhakti to everyone. And when he gave Prema Bhakti, anyone who received Prema Bhakti just by once beholding the transcendental divine enchanting form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he never had to perform sadhan bhakti. That person who immediately received Prema Bhakti, he never had to undergo the performance of sadhan bhakti. He immediately received Prema Bhakti, the goal of sadhan bhakti, which is even rarely obtained, which is so rare that Krishna doesn't give that Prema Bhakti very easily. That Prema Bhakti Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave without considering eligibility, ineligibility, without considering who is suitable, who is unsuitable candidate, without considering which place is proper, which place is not proper for giving this donation of Prema Bhakti, and without considering which time is proper and which time is improper. Patra patra vichar nahi nahi sthana sthana. Now the question arises, if Chaitanya Mahaprabhu can, if his mercy cannot consider the so-called criteria of eligibility and ineligibility, then why the spiritual master's mercy and the mercy of a great devotee of the Lord will consider all these things? That is because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is a special case is a special form of Krishna. Even Krishna, even if he wants to give prema bhakti, he will consider who is patra and who is apatra, who is eligible and who is ineligible. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's form is a very special form because his audarya avatar, his audarya vigraha, is the most munificent incarnation of Krishna, is the most munificent and compassionate form of Krishna. Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prem Pradayate, Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gauratvishya Namaha. That is why he doesn't consider all these things. And another thing, in Chaitanya Shikshamrit, that's a book written by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions in Chaitanya Shikshamrit that if... Now, Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions that the normal process is devotee has to undergo sadhan bhakti and then gradually he will receive bhav bhakti, then gradually he will receive prema bhakti. That's the normal process that what Rupa Goswami mentions in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu by saying adau shraddha tatah sadhu sango atha bhajana kriya tato anartha nivritti hisyat tato nishtha ruchistatah tatha sakti tato bhavah tatah prema bhyudam chati sadhakana mayam premunah pradurbhavi bhavet kramah. These are 9 or 10 steps required in order to get prema bhakti, like shraddha, then sadhu sang, then bhajan kriya, then nishtha, then ruchi, asakti, anartha nivritti, etc. Now, the thing is, this is the normal process. First perform sadhan bhakti, then bhav bhakti, then prema bhakti. But this is in the case of sadhana siddha. Sadhana siddha means there are two types of devotees. Those who become perfect by the performance of their sadhana, and those who become perfect merely by the mercy of either pure devotee of the Lord or by the mercy of the Lord himself. So, the devotees that are made by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy are Kripa Siddha. They are not Sadhan Siddha. Because without performing Sadhan Bhakti, they immediately receive the goal, that is Prema Bhakti. Now, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says in Chaitanya Shikshamritam that because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna, he can immediately bestow Prema Bhakti on anyone and everyone without considering eligibility and ineligibility. Because he is a special power, because he is Godhead himself. But no matter how advanced the devotee is, no matter how advanced the spiritual master is, he will not be able to, by his mercy, he will not be able to immediately make, he will not be able to immediately transform the conditioned living entity into a premi bhakta on the stage of prema bhakta. So, if Mahabhagavata devotee is on the stage of prema bhakti, is himself on the stage of prema bhakti, and if such a guru who is on the stage of prema bhakti, if such a spiritual master who is on the stage of prema bhakti, if he wants to automatically make his disciple or a living entity uplifted without performing sadhan, without his having performing sadhan bhakti, then by the mercy of such a Mahabhagavata Vaishnava devotee of the Lord, or by the mercy of such a spiritual master who is on the level of prema bhakti, that living entity or that disciple will be immediately uplifted only to the level of bhav, not to the level of prema. Only Chaitanya Mahaprabhu can make the living entities immediately uplift to the level of prema bhakti. No one else. Not even the most pure and most advanced devotee of the Lord. Even he cannot do that. So the most pure and the most advanced devotee of the Lord, what he can do at most, if he wants to make anyone kripa siddha, what he can do at most is, he can make that disciple or that living entity uplift immediately to the level of bhav, but not immediately to the level of prem. That's first thing. If the Mahabhagavata guru or a spiritual master is on the level of bhava bhakti, so to speak, because Jiva Goswami says that a spiritual master can be on the level of bhava bhakti, that is also okay. So suppose if the spiritual master is on the level of bhava bhakti, and if he wants to make his disciple or some other living entity immediately turn into a kripa siddha, then what he can do at most is, he can only make that disciple automatically attain to the level of asakti. Because asakti is the last stage of sadhan bhakti. After asakti, bhava bhakti starts. Asakti is the last stage of sadhan bhakti. Sadhan bhakti has 7 stages, beginning from shraddha down to asakti. Asakti is the 7th stage. So asakti is the 7th stage and the last stage of sadhan bhakti. After that stage, bhava bhakti starts. So what a guru or a devotee on the level of bhava bhakti can do, if he wants to make someone into kripa siddha, he can make that person attain the level of asakti immediately, without that living entity's undergoing the preceding stages of anartha nivritti, nishtha, sadhu sang and shraddha, etc. Now, suppose if a devotee is on the level of sadhan bhakti, if he is not on the level of bhava bhakti or prema bhakti, and if a devotee is on the level of sadhan bhakti, like most of us are, if he wants to display his compassion and his mercy on a conditioned living entity of the material world, what he can do, if he can make that conditioned living entity, he can only make the desire of performing sadhan bhakti arise in the heart of that conditioned living entity and nothing else. He can only make the desire of performing sadhan bhakti arise in the heart of a living entity on whom he showers his mercy. If a devotee is on the level of sadhan bhakti, and if he wants to give his mercy or his mercy to any ordinary living entity of the material world, then that ordinary living entity of the material world will only be able to perform sadhan bhakti because he will get this desire of performing sadhan bhakti. This desire of performing sadhan bhakti is received by the mercy of a devotee. And if a devotee is on the sadhan bhakti stage, he can do only this much, nothing else. So, that is why only Chaitanya Mahaprabhu can make immediately anyone, eligible or ineligible, into a premi bhakta. Otherwise, no matter how advanced the guru is, he can only make his disciple come onto the level of bhava bhakti and nothing more. And on the level of bhava bhakti, there remain many chances of again falling down if the bhava bhakti is not performed properly. But if a person is on the level of prema bhakti, he will never fall down. That's what Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says in his historical book, his historically unprecedented book, Madhurya Kadambini. After a long analysis, he comes to the conclusion that if a devotee is on the level of prema bhakti, he will never fall down. He is completely perfect now. No possibility of his falling down ever. But if he is on the level of bhava, preceding stage of prema, there are chances of falling down if some mistakes happen. So, that is why the eligibility is considered. Bhakti Sandarbha Jiva Goswami says that not only the eligibility of guru or spiritual master has to be considered, the eligibility of disciple also has to be considered. So now here it is said, Prathamam tu gurum pujyam tatashchaiva mamarchanam kurvan siddhi mavapnoti hyanyatha nishphalam bhavet. First, worship the spiritual master. Krishna himself says in the Purana that first worship the spiritual master, tatashchaiva mamarchanam, and then worship myself. Aradhananam sarvesham, because the worship of the devotees of the Lord is higher than his own worship. Why? What's the reason? Lord Krishna himself says, not only Shiva says to Parvati in Padma Purana, but Lord Krishna himself says to Uddhava in the 11th canto of Bhagavatam, Mad Bhakta Puja Abhyadika, that the worship of my devotees is better than my worship. Mere bhaktam ki puja, meri puja se adhik hai, adhik mahima mandita hai, adhik gariyasi hai, aur adhik shaktishali. Now, that is Mad Bhakta Puja Abhyadika. Then, why? What's the reason that the worship of the devotees is better than the worship of the Lord? Because it has been described by the Lord himself in the 9th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, in the incident of Durvasa and Amrish. Lord Krishna or Lord Vishnu, he tells Durvasa that Aham Bhakta Paradhino hi Asvatantra Ivadvija Sadhuvir Krasta Hridayo Bhaktair Bhakta Chanapriya. I am completely dependent. I have lost all sorts of independence that I have. Aham bhakta paradhino. I have become completely subservient and subordinate to my devotees. He asvatantra ivadvija. And I have become completely, I have lost my independence, my swatantrata. And now I have become aswatantra. Means I have, by losing independence, I have become completely dependent on my devotee. Then there is another statement like this. Krishna says in the 11th canto of Bhagavatam, again to Uddhava, that he says, to Uddhava he says, that Anubrajamyaham Nityam Pujayet Angrirenubihi. That's the first part of the verse. Anubrajamyaham Nityam Pujayet Angrirenubihi. I always follow behind my devotees. Suppose if my devotees are walking, if they are going ahead, I always follow them behind. So, what's the reason why Krishna follows his pure devotee from behind? If he is the worship, now the question can arise, if Krishna is the worshipable Lord for his devotee, and if devotee is the servant, servitor, sevak, and if Lord is the savior, he is the one to be served by the devotee, then why the Lord doesn't go in the front, ahead, and the devotee in the back? That's the normal way. Why it is contradictory? Why the Lord, for the worshipable Lord, he comes behind and the devotee walks in the front? Because Lord Krishna makes it clear, why do I follow my devotee? So that my devotee, when he goes ahead, secretly, unnoticed by that devotee, because he is going ahead, he doesn't notice this, secretly, unnoticed by my devotee, and invisibly, what I do is I take the foot dust from the imprints of that devotee. So the devotees are so glorious that even Krishna feels kritartha, he feels dhanya, he feels satisfied, and he feels completely fulfilled and satisfied within his heart by serving his devotees. That is why tatashchaiva mama archanam kurvan siddhi mama apnoti hiranyatha nishphalam bhavet. If the spiritual master is not worshipped in this way, if he is not worshipped first, and if the Krishna is, if I am worshipped, Krishna says, if I am worshipped first, mama archanam means, yadi mera archan pehle hota hai aur guru ka archan baad mein hota hai, तो सब कुछ निष्फल हो जाएगा. कुर्वन सिद्धि मवापनोति ही अन्यथा निष्फलम भवेत. देन द परफेक्शन, द सिद्धि, द परफेक्शन ऑन द पाथ ऑफ डिवोशनल सर्विस भक्ति विल नॉट बी रिसीव्ड इफ द ऑर्डर इज चेंज्ड. सो द रियल ऑर्डर इज, फर्स्ट वी हैव टू वर्शिप द महाभागवत डिवोटीज, एस्पेशली द स्पिरिचुअल मास्टर, एंड देन वी हैव टू वर्शिप श्री कृष्ण. सो then there is another shloka which is quoted from the Puranas into Chaitanya Bhagavat by Vrindavan Das Thakur, and that is Siddhir Bhavati Vaneti Sanshayochyuta Sevinam Nihisanshayastu Tadbhakta Paricharya Ratatmanam. That Siddhir Bhavati Vaneti, for those who are only serving the Lord and not his devotees and not the spiritual master, for those it is greatly suspicious, it is very doubtful to say whether they will receive perfection. So for those who are only serving the Lord and not his devotees and not the spiritual master, it is very doubtful whether they will receive the perfection in devotional path or not. Siddhir bhavati va neti sanshayo achyuta sevinam. Jo sirf, jo keval bhagwan achyut ki aradhana kar rahe hain, unke bhakt aur jo shri guru hain, unki aradhana nahi kar rahe hain, unki seva puja nahi kar rahe hain, to unke vishay mein bada शंकास्पद है, बड़ी संशय वाली बात है यह कहना कि वो सिद्धि को प्राप्त होंगे या नहीं होंगे. निसंशयस्तु तद भक्त परिचर्या रतात्मनाम, बट इट इज कंप्लीटली फ्री ऑफ डाउट एंड इट इज कंप्लीटली सर्टन टू से फॉर दोज हु आर ऑलवेज एंगेज्ड इन द सर्विस ऑफ द डिवोटीज ऑफ द लॉर्ड, फॉर देम इट इज कंप्लीटली सर्टन टू से दैट दे विल विदाउट एनी ऑब्स्टिकल रिसीव द परफेक्शन ऑफ द पाथ ऑफ डिवोशनल सर्विस. सो and then it is also described, Shri Jiv Goswami again quotes from different Puranas in his Bhakti Sandarbha 237 paragraph. He says, Yo mantra sa guruhu sakshat, yo guruhu sa harihi swayam, gurur yasya bhavet tushtah, tasya tushto harihi swayam. That if guru becomes satisfied, then for that devotee, the Hari or Shri Krishna, he has automatically become satisfied. Now the question is, what are the qualifications of guru? Because this shloka, Lord Rishabhdeva emphasizes the same point, and Srila Prabhupada, while writing his purport, he has also emphasized the same point. What are the qualities and qualifications of spiritual master? And if a spiritual master is not actually befitting to become a spiritual master, then he cannot deliver or liberate his disciple from the clutches of illusion, from the clutches of nescience, and from the pangs of this material world. So Srimad Bhagavatam describes, confirming the idea of the shloka under discussion, Srimad Bhagavatam 11th canto, 11th chapter, 18th text describes, Lord Krishna says to Uddhava, what are the actual qualifications of becoming a spiritual master, being devoid of which spiritual master cannot be considered spiritual master, guruhu na sasya. He cannot be considered. And what are the qualifications? Shabda brahmani nishnato na nishnayat pareyati shramastasya shramaphalo yadhenum iva rakshatah shabda brahmani nishnato. Now, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has said in Chaitanya Charitamrita to Rai Ramanand that kiba vipra kiba nyasi shudra ke ninoy jai krishna tattva veta sei guru hai. That it doesn't matter who is sannyasi, whether a person is sannyasi or whether a person is a brahmana, pandit, or whether a person is born in the low class shudra family, it doesn't matter. If a person is fully well versed in the science of Bhakti Yoga, in the science of Krishna Bhakti, in the Krishna Tattva Gyan, then he is suitable to become spiritual master or guru or acharya. But this is not the only qualification required. That is why this is one of the qualifications, but this is not the only qualification. That is why Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Krishna emphasizes that not only spiritual master should be well versed in Shabda Brahma. Shabda Brahma means into the transcendental science of Bhakti Yoga. But he should also be, he should also have practically realized whatever he is teaching. Keval gyan nahi, vigyan hona chahi. Vigyan means practical realization. That is why Krishna says in the 11th canto of Bhagavatam to Uddhava, Shabda Brahmani Nishmatam Nishnayat Pareyadi. And Srila Jiva Goswami and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, while writing commentary on this verse of Bhagavatam, they have written that Pare, Pare means practical realization of the Absolute Truth. So if a spiritual master is only having a theoretical knowledge of the devotional service and of the Vedic scriptures and Vedic literatures, but if he has not realized whatever he is teaching, then he is not considered suitable to become spiritual master. Shramastasya shrama phalo hyadenu ivarakshataha. And that spiritual master is like that barren cow, Banj guy. It's like that barren cow. If you maintain that barren cow, it is of no use. That means, if you maintain a barren cow, it is still considered auspicious holy activity because you are serving a cow. And no matter whether the cow is barren or not barren, the cow has 330 million demigods residing within her body. 33 crore devta gai ke sharir mein hai, phir wo banj ho ya banj nahi ho. So, phal to milega, magar doodh nahi milega. Doodh bhi to ek tarah ka phal hai. So, by having that spiritual master who only has theoretical knowledge of the Shastras, but who has not realized the practical import of the scriptures in practical realization, then in a disciple serves that spiritual master, he will only get half result. He will not get the full result. Just like maintaining a barren cow, you will only get half result, not the full result, because she will not be able to give milk. That is one thing. And then in Hari Bhakti Vilas, Sanatan Goswami quotes from a Sanghita, and he says that Mahakula Prasutopi Sarva Yagyeshu Dikshitah Sahasra Shakadhyayicha Nagurhusya Davaishnavah. That if a guru or a spiritual master is born in a very big, high standard Brahman family, Mahakula Prasutopi Sarva Yagyeshu Dikshitah, and if that spiritual master has been initiated many different times in many different yagyas. That means if a spiritual master has performed multifarious yagyas throughout his lifetimes, that means each time you perform yagya, you have to take a special diksha before performing in that yagya. So that means that if the spiritual master has performed many different sacrifices and yagyas, that means he's always engaged in performing yagyas and sacrifices, and he's born in a very high class Brahmana family, sahasra shakha dhyayicha na guru syada vaishnavaha. And not only that, he is well acquainted, he is well aware of the not one branch of Vedas, but he is well aware and he has studied thousands and thousands of branches of the Vedas. Sahasra shakha dhyayicha na guru syada vaishnava. But if that guru, if that spiritual master who is of such a highly qualified position, if he is not Vaishnava, if he is not solely dedicated in serving Lord Vishnu, if he is serving some other demigods side by side, or if he is not at all serving Lord Vishnu and only serving those other devatas or some other object of worship, then he is not to be considered Vaishnava. And who is to be considered Vaishnava? The Shastra is very clear about who is to be considered Vaishnava, especially in the Padma Purana and the Vishnu Purana. It has been described. First, we will quote from the Padma Purana. The Padma Purana, Patal Khanda, describes who is to be considered Vaishnava. Normally we think that anyone who worships the deity of Krishna is a Vaishnava. But who is actually Vaishnava? Padma Purana Vyasadeva writes, Grihita Vishnu Dikshako Vishnu Puja Paro Naraha Vaishnavo Abhihito Abhigyaihai Itaro Asmad Avaishnavaha Grihita Vishnu Dikshako. That devotee of Lord Vishnu who has been initiated, Diksha means jisne Diksha grahan ki hai, who has been initiated in a Vaishnava Sampradaya. And now the question arises, suppose the followers of Adi Shankaracharya, Shankaracharya Sampradaya. They also worship Vishnu deity because they are also Panchopasak. They also worship Lord Vishnu's deity. But then, that is not a bona fide Sampradaya. Why? Because the Padma Purana, the same Padma Purana, which says that the person has to be initiated in the Vishnu mantra, the same Padma Purana says that if a person has received mantra, but not in a Sampradaya, not from a guru who is coming in a bona fide sampradaya, then that Vishnu mantra will become nishphal, will become fruitless. Same Padma Purana says in some other place that sampradaya vihinaye mantraste nishphalamataha. Sampradaya vihinaye. Jo mantra, jo Bhagavan Vishnu ka mantra bhi yadi kisi ne sampradayik guru se prapt nahi kiya hai. Aise guru se prapt kiya hai jiska koi guru nahi hai, athwa aise guru se prapt kiya hai jiska guru hai lekin uska koi thik sampradaya nahi hai. तो वो मंत्र निष्फल हो जाएगा, वो विष्णु मंत्र भी निष्फल हो जाएगा. Now the question arises, then शंकराचार्य संप्रदाय is also bona fide संप्रदाय. पद्म पुराण mentions only four संप्रदायस. Lord व्यास देव in पद्म पुराण only mentions four संप्रदायस as bona fide, and they are all four वैष्णव संप्रदायस. They have nothing to do with आदि शंकराचार्य's line, and that is why Lord व्यास देव says in पद्म पुराण that श्री ब्रह्म रुद्र सनकाः चत्वारः संप्रदायिनः कलौ तु भविष्यन्ते क्षितिपावनाः. That in Kaliyuga, actually, now that's a different thing. Let us just first describe the first part of the verse because that is relevant to us. So, Shri Brahma Rudra Sanakaha Chattvarah Sampradayinah Kshitipavanah. There are four sampradayas, there are four transcendental preceptorial lines, preceptorial lineages coming all from Lord Narayana, beginning all from Lord Narayana. And these four sampradayas or four preceptorial lineages beginning from Narayana are making this earth holy and sacred. Kshiti Pavanaha. Kshiti ko, Prithvi ko, Pavan karne wale hai ye sampradaya. And what are those four sampradayas? Shri Brahma Rudra Sanakaha Chattvaraha. These four. Chattvaraha, these four. Shri Sampradaya, that means Ramanuj, Vishishtadvait line. Brahma Sampradaya, that means Madhva and Gaudiya, that means us, the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Shri Brahma. Rudra means coming from Lord Shiva, that is the Vishnu Swami and the Vallabhacharya Pushtimark sect. And Kumar Sampradaya means beginning from the four sons of Lord Brahma, the four Kumaras, that is the Nimbark Sampradaya, Nimbark Vaishnava Sampradaya. So these are the only four Sampradayas which are considered bona fide in Padma Purana. Now, Padma Purana says anyone who has not taken initiation or diksha from a guru who is in the Vaishnava Sampradaya, then his mantra will become nishphal. Sampradaya vihinaya mantraste nishphalavata. Jo Sampradaya vihin jinki diksha hai. ऐसे गुरु से दीक्षा ली जिसका कोई संप्रदाय नहीं, या फिर अपने आप दीक्षा ले ली, या फिर ऐसे गुरु से दीक्षा ली जिसका गुरु है लेकिन उसका भी कोई संप्रदाय नहीं है. अंत में जाकर इफ यू फाइंड आउट द हिस्ट्री, तो ये सब जो है ठीक नहीं है. और यहां पर पद्म पुराण कहता है वैष्णव किसको कहा जाए, गृहित विष्णु दीक्षा को, जिसने विष्णु मंत्र में दीक्षा ले ली हो, यानी कि प्रॉपर संप्रदाय में. और वो संप्रदाय सिर्फ चार है, पांचवा नहीं हो सकता. गृहित विष्णु दीक्षा को विष्णु पूजा पर न रहा, जो विष्णु मंत्र में दीक्षित है सांप्रदायिक ढंग से और जो विष्णु की मूर्ति की आराधना कर रहा है. यह नहीं कि हम सिर्फ मंत्र का जप तो करेंगे, हम सिर्फ नाम की तो उपासना करेंगे लेकिन मूर्ति को नहीं मानेंगे. आजकल और विशेष करके आपके पंजाब प्रांत में, भारत में बहुत सारे ऐसे संप्रदाय चल पड़े हैं, अप संप्रदाय, कुसंप्रदाय जिसको बोलते हैं, नॉट बोनाफाइड अनऑथोराइज संप्रदाय, कि जो ऐसा मानते हैं कि भगवान का नाम तो भगवान से अभिन्न है, एक है, नॉन डिफरेंट, परंतु भगवान का जो रूप है मूर्ति वो भगवान से भिन्न है, इसलिए हम रूप की पूजा नहीं करेंगे सिर्फ नाम की करेंगे. लेकिन यहां कहा गया कि सिर्फ जो नाम में दीक्षित है, सिर्फ जो मंत्र में दीक्षित है वो अधूरा वैष्णव है. यदि वो पूजा नहीं कर रहा है, यानी कि मूर्ति की, प्रतिमा की वो सेवा नहीं कर रहा है, विष्णु पूजा पर होना रहा. पूजा का तात्पर्य है अर्चा विग्रह की षोडशोपचार पूजा करना विधिवत. तो जो सिर्फ वैष्णव संप्रदायों में दीक्षित है, जो वैष्णव संप्रदाय के द्वारा प्रामाणिक विष्णु मंत्र में दीक्षित है और जो विष्णु की मूर्ति की भी आराधना कर रहा है, उसी को अभिज्ञाई है, यानी कि जानकारों के द्वारा, तत्वविदों के द्वारा, तत्व कोविदों के द्वारा, तत्व ज्ञानी विद्वानों के द्वारा, शास्त्र ज्ञानियों के द्वारा, उसी को वैष्णव अभिहित वैष्णव कहा जाएगा. अन्य समस्त को अस्माद अवैष्णव अवैष्णव कहा जाएगा. या तो जिसने संप्रदाय, चार संप्रदाय में से किसी एक संप्रदाय में विष्णु मंत्र में दीक्षा नहीं ली और जो विष्णु की प्रतिमा की पूजा नहीं कर रहा है एक्सक्लूसिवली अनन्य भाव से, यह नहीं कि विष्णु के साथ साथ दूसरे देवी देवताओं की, क्योंकि फिर भगवान ने गीता में कहा कि यजंती अविधि पूर्वकम, यदि अन्य देवताओं की उपासना करेंगे तो ठीक उपासना नहीं है. इसलिए यहाँ पर वही वैष्णव का तात्पर्य है। तो यानी कि गुरु यदि बड़े कुल में जन्मा हो, समस्त यज्ञों को उसने संपन्न किया हो, वेदों की सहस्र शाखाओं का अध्ययन किया हो, लेकिन अवैष्णव है तो गुरु बनने के लायक नहीं, ये पद्म पुराण का वाक्य है। उसके पश्चात विष्णु स्मृति एक बहुत प्राचीन ग्रंथ है, उसमें भी पराशर मुनि कहते हैं परिचर्या यशोलिप्सुः शिष्याद् गुरुर् नहीं, कि जो गुरु सिर्फ शिष्य से परिचर्या शारीरिक सेवा प्राप्त करना चाहता है वो गुरु बनने के लायक नहीं है। परिचर्या, जो परिचर्या और यश चाहता है, मैं इसीलिए शिष्य बनाऊंगा ताकि मुझे यश मिले, मान पूजा कीर्ति लाभ प्रतिष्ठा। और परिचर्या का तात्पर्य है परिचर्या यशोलिप्सुः, मेरी सेवा हो अनेक चेलों के द्वारा। तो ऐसे व्यक्ति के द्वारा जो शिष्य बनाए जाते हैं वो शिष्यों का भी उद्धार नहीं होता और उसका स्वयं का भी उद्धार नहीं होता। फिर पुनः पुराणों में कहा गया गुरवो बहवः सन्ति शिष्य वित्तापहारकः, शिष्य वित्तापहारकः दुर्लभः सद्गुरुर्देवी शिष्य संतापहारकः। भगवान शिव, लॉर्ड शिव इज टेलिंग टू मदर पार्वती दैट गुरवो बहवः सन्ति शिष्य वित्तापहारकः, देर आर मेनी गुरुज, सो कॉल्ड गुरुज, अनऑथोराइज्ड बोगस गुरुज हु आर ट्राइंग टू स्नैच अवे, हु आर ट्राइंग टू टेक अवे द मनी फ्रॉम द डिसाइपल्स। ऐसे बहुत सारे गुरु मिलेंगे जो अपने शिष्यों से धन का, वित्त का अपहरण करने वाले होंगे। गुरवो बहवः सन्ति शिष्य वित्तापहारकः दुर्लभः सद्गुरुर्देवी शिष्य संतापहारकः। लेकिन ऐसा गुरु बहुत दुर्लभ है जो शिष्य के वित्त का अपहारक न हो परंतु शिष्य के संताप का, उसके दुख का। दुख कौन सा दुख? ये संसार में जो जीव सड़ रहा है वही उसका दुख है, उसकी बद्धावस्था, उसकी कृष्ण विमुख अवस्था। द एवर्जन ऑफ द लिविंग एंटिटी इज द रियल पेन दैट द लिविंग एंटिटी इज सफरिंग इन दिस मटीरियल वर्ल्ड। सो दैट स्पिरिचुअल मास्टर हु एक्चुअली किडनैप्स, हु एक्चुअली एबडक्ट्स एंड स्नेचेस अवे फोर्सफुली द aversion of his disciple, aversion for Lord Krishna that his disciple has, that santapa, that's the root cause of all distress in the material world, that guru is very rare. Otherwise, money taking gurus are found everywhere. That is what Shiva is telling Parvati there. And then Mahabharat, just in 2 minutes more, we will end the session. In Mahabharat, Udyog Parva, 179th chapter, 25th shloka, Bhishma Deva is actually describing this. So, the qualities of a guru who is to be actually what guru is to be, what type of guru is to be rejected, that is described here. Guru rapyavaliptasya karya karya majanatah utpatha pratipannasya parityago vidhiyate guru ho api avaliptasya. That master, that spiritual master, because of some offense, now he has fallen down and he is engaged in sense gratification, indriya tripti. Guru ho avaliptasya, vishayeshu avalipta. That guru who has now become engrossed in the vishaya, in the sense gratification. And karya karya majanatah. Now he has completely lost his rational wisdom and now he doesn't know what ought to be done, what ought not to be done. Kya karne jaisa hai, kya nahi karne jaisa hai, is vishay mein wo guru bhramit ho chuka hai. Utpatham pratipannasya, and now he has rejected the right path of saintly people. Sadhu Vartmanu Vartanam, Rupa Goswami says in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, if one wants to advance, he has to follow the path of his predecessor Acharyas. Mahajano yena gataha sapantha. Mahabharat statement. Mahajano yena gataha sapantha. One has to follow the Mahajans, the great Acharyas of yore. So, utpat pratipanyasya means one who is not performing Sadhu Vartmanu Vartanam. One who is not following in the footsteps of previous great devotees of the Lord and Acharyas, but now he has rejected the path of saintly people and have rather invented a new path, concoction. Utpatha pratipannasya parityago vidhiyate, that spiritual master, because he has fallen down, he is to be rejected. Mahabharat Udyog Parva says that. Now, another Purana is quoted in Hari Bhakti Vilas by Sanatan Goswami. He is quoting another Purana. And it is written in that Puran, Snehadva lobhato vapi yo grihniyad dikshaya tasmin gurau sasheshye tad devata shap apatet. Snehadva lobhato vapi. That spiritual master or that disciple, both of them, any one of them, who either take initiation or give initiation due to some physical attraction or attachment. Snehadva. Not considering the eligibility of spiritual master and not considering the eligibility of disciple. कई बार लोग कहते हैं ना, अरे ये गुरु तो बहुत हट्टे कट्टे हैं, बहुत इनकी जो है ऊंचाई बहुत है, he is very high, very tall, and he is a great personality. देखो इनके चेहरे पे कैसा तेज है, How effulgent and how radiant his face is, he has performed a lot of tapasya. But actually the person who performs tapasya becomes so weak and so thin. See the example of our six Goswamis. They were just looking like ordinary beggars. और जिसके पास वो वाला तेज होता है ना, वो वास्तव में भोगी ही ज्यादा होते हैं. दैट इज वाई दीज थिंग्स हैव टू बी रिजेक्टेड. यस, स्नेहाद्वा मीन्स वन हु टेक्स इनिशिएशन ऑन वॉर और वन हु गिव्स इनिशिएशन बाय बिकमिंग फिजिकली अट्रैक्टेड और बाय शोइंग अफेक्शन ड्यू टू सम अदर एक्सटर्नल रीजन. स्नेहाद्वा लोभतो बाप, एंड लोभतो मीन्स इफ स्पिरिचुअल मास्टर गिव्स दीक्षा इनिशिएशन ड्यू टू सम लोभ, सम ग्रीड, माय डिसाइपल विल गिव मी लॉट ऑफ मनी. Lobato, or that when disciple also sometimes take initiation from spiritual master thinking, oh, he is a spiritual master of a big institution, he will make me raised, uplifted to a high position in this institution. Snehadva lobhato bapi, due to this greed, if somebody gives or takes initiation, yogrihniya dikshaya tasmin gurau sashishyeta devata shap apate, then the devata whose mantra is being given in the initiation, that devata, that worshipable deity whose mantra will be given in the initiation, if the initiation takes place despite this, then the devata, the worshipable deity of that mantra, he gives curse both to the guru and to the disciple, and they will never succeed. So that is why it is again said in the Purana that yo vyakti nyaya rahitam anyayena shrinoti yah tavu bhau narakam ghoram rajatah kalam akshayam, that if some person dressing as an acharya or a spiritual master says something which is contradictory to the shastra. Like nowadays we have many people who are posing themselves as acharyas or gurus or spiritual masters, but they are not quoting a single statement from shastra when they are speaking or when they are giving discourses. They are just entertaining their fellow disciples or their fellow followers. So those who are not speaking from the shastra, or those who are speaking something contradictory to the shastra, and those who as disciples of such bogus gurus listen to those bogus things, both of them enter into hellish planets for time, for very long time to come. Tavubhau narakam ghoram vrajatah kalam akshayam. And the last statement is from Padma Puran, again quoted in Haribhakti Vilas by Sanatan Goswami. Avaishnavo padishtena mantrena nirayam vrajet punascha vidhina samyak. That if a Vishnu mantra is being told or is being uttered, spoken by such a spiritual master who is not Vaishnava himself, then what will happen? The disciple, he has to again take another initiation, another diksha from such a guru, from such a spiritual master who is actually Vaishnava in the bona fide proper Vaishnava sampradaya, which is one of the four Vaishnava sampradayas. So that is why now we have understood what are the qualifications of becoming a guru and how guru becomes empowered to deliver his disciple. And if he is not so empowered, then he cannot deliver his disciple. So in Bhakti Marg, guru has the foremost position, not the mother and not the father. Guru has the foremost position, and that is why the last statement by Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Chaitanya Charitamrita is that Sei se param bandhu sei mata pita Shri Krishna Charane Jai Prema Bhakti Data. In Chaitanya Mangal, written by Lochan Das Thakur in Madhya Khand, it is said that Sei se param bandhu sei mata pita. Only that friend or brother is real friend and real brother and real kith and kin. And that mata pita, that mother and father are real mother father who give Shri Krishna Charane Jai Prema Bhakti Data, who give Prema Bhakti to their son. Or to their son, those mother and father, that mother and father is real mother and father who gives prema bhakti, the boon of the, or the benediction or the gift of prema bhakti to his son. Shri Krishna charane jai prema bhakti data. Shri Krishna ke charano mein jo prema bhakti ka daan karne wale hain, wohi vastu mein mata pita hai. Sakal jal mein pita mata sabhi paaye, Krishna guru nahi mile bhajah hiyar. In all the different lifetimes, in all the various different 8,400,000 species of aquatics, human beings, plants, reptiles, etc., every living entity gets a particular mother father, but that guru is never to be found, or is to be found very rarely, who can give Krishna Bhakti or devotional service unto the lotus feet of Shri Krishna to his disciple. And that is why in the spiritual concept, in the concept of Bhakti Marg, the position of Acharya is, what to speak of being higher than Mata and Pita, it's even higher than the position of Bhagavan Shri Krishna. that as we have already described, and which is contradicting the normal law of Vyavaharik Guru and Vyavaharik Guru's subordination to the normal mother and father, according to the Vedic injunction of Acharya Devo Bhava, Matri Devo Bhava, etc. So we have also tried to discuss many of the things of this verse and along with some of the other related conclusions. And Srila Prabhupada has also emphasized on the same point. And we tried to make Srila Prabhupada's explanation more extended by quoting from many different scriptures because we had a little more time to do so. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. If anyone from the audience has any question, inquiries or comments.
आपके जो वो पटका क्या उसका नाम है जो स्कॉन के who's American but he became Indian.
जय पटका.
वो तो बड़े मोटे हैं.
Yes, yes, yes.
वो आपने बोला ना क्योंकि he is the head of the SCOM movement.
Yes.
And if you see, he is quite well built because we were talking about how all these six Goswamis look, but in Kali Yoga, you could see he is.
But that doesn't mean that all the people who are big and are of good personality are bogus.
Use the world because we live in this world.
Yes, yes,
so
yes.
We see these people.
But normally what happens, I have seen.
Only six Goswamis.
Yes, yes, yes.
These are the people who are leader now in ISKCON.
Yes.
And if you see, I really appreciate what you
yes,
said.
Yes,
I like there is a code of conduct from ISKCON.
Yes.
How they make guru, how they fire gurus, like those things, like what we talk today, it's against the philosophy of ISKCON.
Yes.
Because they make guru, they make disciple, then they fire the gurus also.
You see, sometimes prematurely these things happen.
It's not prematurely, it's happening all over.
Immaturely, so to say, that's the right word.
No, that I'm saying, then there should be, like what we are preaching under ISKCON,
yes.
Is not true. Because ISKCON, like they have given their code of conduct, how the guru, 2 years you need to wait, how one can take sannyas, how you can do.
Yes.
Then somebody is guru, already he has a lot of disciples, but on the back he is doing a lot of wrong things.
Yes.
Then they fire that guru also, like then GBC, they go and fire
that guru. Is why it has to be decided on the authority of the Shastra.
But there it is not being done.
Well,
so that one, because that is why
it's on in the stage of evolution.
I don't know.
Gradual
evolution. Evolution. Because
it's kind of like supposed to be evolution. Prabhupada has given the standard instruction.
Yes.
And we follow them or disobey them.
Yes, yes.
There's no such evolution or ISKCON. It's the evolution going on.
Yes,
but
yes.
We realize we're living in Kali Yuga and we are utilizing the principles of Treta and Dwapara Yuga. So it's going to be very difficult to perform.
And also, even at the time of these six Goswamis, and even at the time of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they knew that there will be such cases, or maybe even at that time, there may be many people who might have fallen down, but their names are not recorded in the history. And some of their names are also recorded in the history. Like there is a name of disciple of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, who actually fell down from his position of being an acharya. So even in those times, there used to be such cases, there used to be such incidents when the so-called acharyas, they used to fall down. So that is why the six Goswamis, in their writings, they have mentioned about these things of falling down of the acharya. Because these are universal. This can happen at any time. An acharya, if he is not properly following the path of devotional service, he can fall down at any time. It's not that it can only happen in the 21st century and it was not happening back then in the 16th century. If it was not happening in the 16th century, then Jiva Goswami would not have quoted this verse, Utpatha Pratipannasya Parityago Vidyate, that if he doesn't follow the Shastra, he is to be rejected. That means this is universal. Person can fall down from the path of devotional service at any time, in any place, in any circumstance. It's not only in the 21st century.
Rupa so Goswami we have to, ji himself, yeah. In actual devotion, says very profound statement.
Yes.
If a guru on his own initiative,
yes.
Not properly authorized with guru,
oh, yes.
Start initiating,
yes.
Then he will carry away the wealth and the followers.
Yes, yes.
So that means, in words is, if somebody then carried away wealth and followers, maybe not properly initiated,
yes.
But not authorized.
Yes.
But so now, authorization is necessary. Initiation. In ISKCON, who's doing proper initiation?
That is a million-dollar question. What did Prabhupada want?
We are going to tell our children, and we are going to tell them about the righteousness and not the righteousness.
No, we are already telling, like we are following whatever is. But I am just asking, because Prabhupada is just, if he is not properly initiated, I am just, my question, who is properly
Prabhupada
initiated?
Has given a system of initiation through the letter of July 9, 1977, before disappearing this world. And because we are disobeying that, he has very clearly said, after I leave, those who give the initiation, they will be going on my behalf. But if you are becoming our self guru, then the La Puja Pratistha takes over. I am not going to be guru. And I fall down.
Well, I think his question was...